Roe v. Wade is history, but sadly, the killing of unborn babies continues. AFA Action works to keep you informed on how you can help close legal loopholes and fight for the innocent. One way you can help is with your gift to keep AFA Action on the front lines in the battle for life. When you give, you'll also get free access to the Monica Kelsey story that details her mission to save abandoned newborns across America. Stop by afaaction.net today. afaaction.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Real Truth for Today. It is Friday, TGIF. All of us are excited when Friday rolls around, and this is Memorial Day weekend, so many of us get a three-day weekend, and that's always fun. So I have in the studio today my good friend Dr. Chris Schroeder, and we're going to talk about the issue that plagues so many people, so many marriages, so many families. It's the issue of anger, unresolved anger, anger that tends to blow up and just like a volcano can spew lava all over a spouse, all over a family, all over a situation, and just bring destruction. The scripture says this in Proverbs 14:29, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly." Well, here's my question for you as Chris and I get ready to discuss this important topic. Are you an angry person? You say, well, no, I'm not an angry person, and I'm upset that you even asked me that.
Now I'm angry.
So I wrote a booklet years and years ago called Kicking and Screaming, God's Answer to Your Anger, and it was based on a sermon I had preached on Proverbs 14:29. And Chris, in here, I have a little question test, a little anger test to determine if people are angry. And the first one is with mild irritations. You get stuck in traffic. You know, some people really lose it in traffic. We call that road rage.
Road rage, yeah.
A lot of people have that. How about when you get up in the middle of the night and it's dark and you stub your toe, do you start cursing the furniture?
Yeah, who are you mad at when that happens?
Well, do you remember in the movie Big Daddy with Adam Sandler, he stepped on Scuba Steve?
Oh, yeah, Scuba Steve. Yeah.
And we laugh at that because we've all had that experience.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, those are irritations, but do you get really, really angry? How about if you're out at a restaurant and you spill food on your shirt? That can cause some people to go ballistic.
Your white shirt right before an important meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, and you have your white shirt on because you're getting ready to do a wedding this morning. The other questions, do you tend to blame others for your outbursts? Is it always someone else's fault, your spouse's fault, your kid's fault, your parents' fault, your employer's fault, your secretary's fault, somebody's fault, anybody's fault, not your fault? Do you have difficulty? I think this is a huge one, Chris. Do you have difficulty submitting to authority?
Mm-hmm.
Do you seethe inside when someone over you begins to point out your weaknesses and starts making changes in the way you are to do things? And probably the most telltale sign if you're an angry person, would the people closest to you say that you have a volatile temper? Now, Chris, you have counseled lots and lots of people in your ministry. Where would you put anger in the mix of marital problems, family problems?
I think that would be near the top. In our situation, in our church, my wife does the women's counseling, and I do the counseling for men. Mm-hmm. And I would say that this is a hot topic, no pun intended, for men.
Yeah.
This is a major issue for men. And even currently talking with a couple men that struggle with this issue of anger. So it comes up quite a bit.
Yeah. When you delve into the issue with these guys, and is it guys and girls, or is it mostly the guys that are angry, or how does that work out?
I would say that's what I was saying. I think that it's more women get angry obviously as well, but I would definitely say that's more of a looked at as more of a masculine issue, a male issue.
Probably scarier when a guy gets angry.
Yeah, maybe.
Because
I mean, there's different, you know, there's different kinds of anger. Some people, we call them spewers, stuffers, or leakers. So spewers are the ones who are just, it just comes out, and it comes out in rage.
That's the volcano.
The volcano, yeah. It just comes out in rage at different times. The stuffer, a lot of times, they don't even really know that they're angry, and they're just stuffing things. They're just stuffing emotions. Now, that one, it could still explode at some time, right. You know. And then the leaker is very common. Leaker is the one who, you know, sarcasm, criticism, negativity. So it leaks out in different ways.
Kind of a passive-aggressive
type. Yeah, it could be very passive-aggressive. That's a big one, being passive-aggressive. So we talk to people about being, you know, on one end of the spectrum would be being passive, just letting things go. We call them withholds, where you just sweep things, you don't deal with things, and it piles up, like sweeping it under a rug. And then the other side would be aggressive, where you're just, you know, very controlling and domineering. In the middle, where we want to be, would be assertive. We want to be assertive. We don't want to be passive. We don't want to be you know, walked on, doormats, but we want to be assertive with what we're feeling, what we're experiencing.
Well, I've heard a guy share before. He said in marriage counseling, you know, when you're visiting with couples before they get married, premarital counseling, and he'll ask this question to the woman: have you ever seen this guy get angry? And you know, if you haven't spent much time together, or if it's maybe long distance dating or something like that, you may not have seen that, and that's a big issue to recognize. How does that person deal with irritations? And when they get real angry, do they blow up like a volcano? And is it going to make everybody nervous and scared? I think that is really, really important for couples. It's important to see how does your prospective spouse deal with those issues.
How do they handle crisis? How do they handle when things are challenging, when challenges come?
Right.
I was counseling a couple recently where she was talking about his anger. His anger is a real issue in their marriage, and he doesn't even think that he has an anger issue. But there's been incidences that have come up, and they've been, you know, not all the time, just very occasional. But, you know, she has a history of that with her dad and seeing anger from her dad. And so there is a, you know, she just really does not want to see any kind of anger displayed. And so he's the type that will slam the door every once in a while when, you know, things get up, you know, when things get tense.
Right. Well, you know, Chris, we were talking before the program began. Some people have the wrong idea that anger is always sinful, it's always wrong, and that's not the case, because God, who is holy, 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 he gets angry.
Well, that's a great place to start. That's a misconception, that we are not supposed to be angry. You know, Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry. It says be angry. So it tells us to be angry. So there's situations where we need to be angry. There are situations that should fire us up. Right. And there's something wrong if it doesn't fire us up. Injustices, things happening to children, sin, you know, those things make us angry. And so we have to be angry. But then it says, but do not sin while you're angry.
Right.
And then don't let the sun go down while you're angry.
Well, some of our listeners may have seen the clip that was, it's been played on news sources on X and things like that, of Ted Cruz grilling this judicial nominee that Biden has put forth, and he was angry because she had taken this guy who was a child rapist. He raped a 9-year-old boy and a 17-year-old girl. He was convicted of child pornography. And then he said, well, he's 50-something, 52 years old. Well, I'm feeling like a woman. And she took this guy and put him in a female prison. And 6'2", biological male. And he said, on what universe would you ever think this was a wise thing to do? And you could tell, I mean, he was angry. And he was rightfully angry.
Yeah, there's things that we need to be angry about, and there's great causes that have started. Great resolution has come from people being fired up about things that are
injustice,
things that are wrong. Yeah, injustices.
So William Wilberforce was upset, rightfully so, about the slave trade, and he worked on that and worked on that and finally got it reversed and made a difference. We should be indignant, righteous indignation over abortion. Abortion is the brutal murder by dismemberment of the unborn, if that
it should propel us to do something, it should drive us to make things better, make things different.
Right. So when we talk about anger that is destructive, mm-hmm. it's not righteous indignation that's destructive.
Right. It's been taken too far. And anger is a secondary emotion. So anger is covering something else. You have to do a diagnosis and figure out what's really going on. It's like the check engine light in your car. Like, something is wrong. Why am I getting so angry about this? And this isn't an injustice. I'm getting fired up at this person that, you know, cut me off or whatever.
Right.
Why?
Why?
What's the deal?
Yeah, and when the punishment doesn't fit the crime, mm-hmm. when somebody spills milk at the dinner table and you go absolutely ape, it's like, wait a minute. This is a minor irritation that all of a sudden you took it to the nth degree.
And you went off on your wife, your children, who are innocent bystanders.
Right.
But you're taking out something that happened to you earlier on them.
Right. Now, I talk about in the book, Runaway Emotions, there's a whole chapter on anger. And, you know, in this book, Chris, I say that, just like you said, the emotions, the negative emotions are not the issue. It reveals like a smoke alarm. Mm-hmm. The smoke alarm is not the issue that is going off. Mm-hmm. It's telling you there's another problem here.
Yeah.
And so you got to find out where's the fire.
Well, the first step in anything, in any kind of emotional healing, the first step is always awareness. Uh-huh. So you got to come out of denial, because a lot of people think, oh, I'm not angry. And they think they're not angry a lot of times because they're stuffers, because they're not. Maybe they're not slamming doors or yelling or cussing, so then they think that they're not angry. But you can be angry by stuffing issues also,
right.
And sarcasm, criticism, negativity, those things could be a sign of anger.
Yeah.
So first of all is awareness.
Well, we have a good friend that I'm thinking about who dealt with some loss in his life, and he was giving all the right answers, but he was churning inside,
uh-huh.
and he finally had to come to the place where he said, you know, I'm mad at God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And which is a big breakthrough.
Yeah. Coming to that realization that there's something going on here. I'm disappointed.
Right.
Really, disappointment is a big factor in anger. So disappointment comes from unrealistic expectations. So you have expectations of the way you think things should be happening, the way that God should be doing things, which is crazy, right? A human thinking a sovereign God should be doing things the way that I want him to.
Well, it's Martha who is frustrated because Mary wasn't helping her, and mm-hmm. she told Jesus, you tell her to come help me.
Because this is the way it's supposed to be done.
Always a bad plan when you're telling God how it should be. But his ways are not our ways, and we don't understand why he does what he does. And I still remember a quote I heard from Corrie ten Boom, where she was going through a really terrible time in Ravensbrück concentration camp. And she said these words. I haven't been able to find it again, but I remember hearing this. She said, because she was very honest with the Lord, which is the way to be. You know, you pour out your heart to him.
But yeah, even if you're angry with him, right?
Right.
Even if the emotions are negative.
Right, because you just share, hey, I don't understand this. And sometimes we want to give God the right answer instead of giving him the real answer, which is this is where
He wants us. He wants all of us.
Right, and so she said to him, she said, God, if this is the way you treat your friends, I understand why you have so few of them.
Yes.
And I've never forgotten that, because obviously that was shared from a place of hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But it was her just pouring out her heart. Lord, I don't understand this. Well, why? You know, that's the old question. Why do the righteous suffer? You know, and Job could have asked that question. God, I'm following you with all my heart. And yet this seems to be my reward. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, Job, David was like that. Mm-hmm. I know one time in my life, I was early on in ministry, and I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to do the right things. I'm trying to be the right husband, and our finances were really bad. And I don't oftentimes turn on God. That hasn't been a pattern in my life, but that one time, I remember just being angry at God, like, why is this happening? Where are you? Why aren't you providing for me when I'm serving you and trying to do all these right things, and people around me aren't doing, you know, aren't trying to serve you, but why aren't you blessing me? Why aren't you taking care of me if you're a good father? So I remember just pouring out that anger to him.
Yeah, it reminds me of Psalm 73, where Asaph says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, I almost slipped and lost my balance. I almost fell into sin. Why? Because he looked at the wicked and they seemed to be prospering and he was suffering and it didn't make sense. And God, I don't get it.
Right.
Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the subject of anger. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly and foolishness. Hey, we can find help from the Word of God, so this program is here to help you. Don't go away. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the issue of anger. Proverbs 14:29 says, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly, exalts foolishness, and creates problems for himself." Now, one of the things that we read about the Lord, as the Lord shares about himself, Exodus 34 verses 6 and 7, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. When we're slow to anger, that means we're godlike, we're Christlike, because he is slow to anger. If the Lord weren't slow to anger, we'd all be dead.
Yeah, that's true. He's patient with us.
Yeah. You know, when you read about God destroying the earth in the days of Noah through a flood, well, that's a patient God who gave every opportunity for people to repent, but they didn't repent. They just got more and more entrenched in their sin. Every intent of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually, and God was sorry that he made man in his heart. Well, and he finally acted on that.
And he's doing that right now. He's being patient with us right now, you mm-hmm. know, because he has plenty of things to be angry about with what's taking place in our world.
Well, we talked about Corrie ten Boom being honest with the Lord about her frustration, and Chris, you had said in the counseling office, you got to be honest about where you are, uh-huh. and sometimes we give the right answer, the Sunday school answer to tragedy, to difficulty, to whatever's coming in into our lives that's turned it upside down, and you were just saying that, hey, part of grief is anger.
Right. This is a part of life. So we all have losses in life. We'd be probably, if we really thought about it and reflected on our life, we looked back in our life, we've had a lot of losses. Besides death, we've had a lot of losses. Mm-hmm. And losses that don't get grieved can turn into depression, mm-hmm. you know, can turn into a deep, dark depression. Mm-hmm. And so losses have to be grieved. And part of grief is anger. So being angry with what has happened, not being stuck there, not staying in anger, because some people can get stuck at that place, mm-hmm. but you've got to get it out. You've got to get to a place where you express that anger, even with God. You can be angry at God. You don't want to stay there. You don't want to stay angry at God, mm-hmm. but he wants you to pour out your emotions to him. He created you in that way with emotion because you're in his image. Mm-hmm. And so you are okay, it's okay to pour out your anger to,
yeah,
to
and,
God.
And if you don't, you know, that unresolved anger can become like a cancer in your body. Uh-huh. Because once the anger, you had mentioned, be angry and do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your anger, Ephesians 4. If you let the sun go down on your anger and you don't resolve the anger with your spouse, with your kids, with your whoever it is, it might be with a pastor, it might be with an employer, and maybe you don't need to have a face-to-face confrontation, but you have to forgive that person from your heart. If you don't do that, then that anger will turn into resentment and bitterness starts to destroy everything in your life.
Yeah, in recovery, we call it making amends. And that's not just for recovery. That's all of us. Everyone needs to make amends sometimes. So there's people, maybe it's a mother or a father or a relative or a teacher, someone in your life that had authority in your life that did you wrong, that hurt you in some way. You know, unforgiveness turns into anger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like drinking the poison and expecting the other person to suffer.
Right.
You know, you're the one that suffers.
Yeah.
That scripture is interesting about not letting the sun go down. Some counselors take that literal.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have a dispute with your spouse, you're up till, you know, 3 a.m, which
yeah.
isn't always realistic. But the bottom line, the point is not to let day after day after
right.
day. And couples get into this place called, we call it stonewalling,
mm-hmm.
where they just shut down. And that is a form of anger. It's a form of hurting the other person, saying, I'm not going to lash out in words or anything like that, but I'm just going to stop talking, and I'm just going to stuff it, and mm-hmm. I'm going to hurt you with my silence. But that is just such a dangerous place to be, because that's just bitterness and resentment.
That's awful.
Yeah, just living in that bitterness and resentment. And that's not the way that God designed us to live.
Well, when you're around couples like that, you can just feel it.
Yeah.
The tension is just so thick. That it's just terrible.
And well, they get in a cycle and they're not resolving, they're never resolving issues.
Right.
So they've got this pattern where they get angry and it lasts a few days, but they never really resolve the problem, and it just...
They just sweep it under the rug. Yeah, I had shared before that when I was a kid growing up, our garage became like the junk room.
Yeah, that's right.
We couldn't have, there was no room for cars.
Right.
It was just full of junk.
Yeah.
And my parents would say, sometimes it'd be like a Saturday, hey kids, today we're going to clean the garage.
Yay.
Oh, please, no, anything but that. And, you know, Chris, when you have people come in the counseling office
yeah.
that have stuffed everything in this room, whether it's a closet, a garage, whatever, that's their emotional junk room.
Yeah.
And to deal with that stuff and to pull all that out, that can be overwhelming. A lot of people say, I don't want to do that. I'm just going to get divorced.
Yeah, I love that analogy. I use that analogy all the time. So it spills out from that. The garage or that spare room,
right.
It spills out the junk drawer. It spills out into other parts of the house. You can't help but spill it out into other parts
right.
of the house. So stuffing. I mean, I hope people are realizing that anger is not just shouting and cursing and slamming doors. You could be stuffing, you mm-hmm. know, things that have made you angry.
Right. Well, and the people, you know, you've heard the old expression, revenge is a dish best served cold,
mm-hmm.
where someone is angry with you, but they don't let you know that.
Mm-hmm.
I had that happen to me, you know, a couple years ago with an individual that you know. I never knew that he had this resentment
and
with
then
me.
It came just a terrible way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just awful.
And it will come out. So
yeah,
we say that withholds, that's called a withhold, have a 100% resurrection rate. They're
yeah.
going to come out, and they're going to come out in an ugly way and in the worst timing, and it's going to be bad.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I talked about in this little booklet I wrote about, I called it Kicking and Screaming, God's Answer to Your Anger, was the fact that some people, think about anger like a meter. And so if you are at peace, the anger meter's sitting at zero, like a thermometer, you know, zero to 10. 10 means I'm going ballistic.
Mm-hmm.
if you don't resolve things in relationships or even within yourself, you know, with circumstances, all the anger goes back to God. I'm angry at God ultimately. But if the meter, something happens and that thing would tick the meter up, maybe you get cut off in traffic, it goes up 2 points, you spill coffee on your shirt, goes up 2 points, and then something else happens, you get fired from your job, boom, it's at 10. If you never deal with that and you never get it back down to zero, and it's always riding at about a 6 or a 7 from past hurts, well, then it doesn't take much to go ballistic.
Right.
And I think a lot of angry people are like that. Their meter's riding on an 8 all mm-hmm. the time. Mm-hmm. You know, we think
it's
about...
It's not the spilled coffee that's made them angry then.
No, it's other things. You know, you talk about a guy like Bobby Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Bobby Knight was such an angry person. Mm-hmm. You know, he'd get interviewed and it didn't take much for him to just go ballistic on the interviewer.
Well, I think that's a case of people will use anger. So anger is something that it's like a go-to for them for mm-hmm. control.
Mm-hmm.
So it will show that they have control and they can kind of turn that switch and be angry. I always think I love baseball. And sometimes before instant replay, the manager would argue with the umpire, get mad at the umpire. He would turn it on just to fuel his team, just to give fire to his team. So right. he wasn't really, you know, angry at the umpire.
He's acting angry.
It's acting. So it's right. like a tool that you can use. So I think Bobby Knight was using that, especially with college kids, you know, because he had authority over them. He had that, you know, strong personality. But it's a control thing.
Well, you know, I think he was kind of a psycho. You know, Ditka was like that too. He was ready to throw down at any moment. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a man in our community who was playing golf and a guy that attends our church, and he was attacked on the golf course. There was some kind of altercation.
Oh, yeah. You heard
and
about that.
He was beaten up with a putter,
mm-hmm.
and he's in the hospital now. He's going to lose his one eye, maybe two eyes, because of this altercation, because somebody couldn't control his temper.
Well, and what happened there is, like, situations like that, and that happens in marriage, not that they beat each other with a putter, but tempers rise, and when your heart rate starts going really fast, you lose control. And you start saying things that you can't take back. You
right.
start saying horrible things. And so we talk about having a timeout. So either one of you call a timeout and walk away and cool down.
Right.
And scientifically, it doesn't take that long, like 20 minutes. You can cool down, pray, walk, do whatever it takes to cool down, and then come back and resolve.
Right.
But it takes someone being mature enough to walk away. Call a timeout and walk away. So in that situation, I don't really know what happened on that golf course, but it just escalated. And it could escalate so fast and become so terrible. And, you know, police officers talk about the biggest issues that they have to face are domestic issues.
Yeah.
Where things went haywire. And it's because of this undealt anger and things just getting out of control.
Well, Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So if you're dealing with somebody, let's say road rage.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody does something to you, cuts you off, and then you do something to them, you give them the one finger salute, and then it can just escalate from there. You get to cut them off and stop in front of them fast. You know, in today's world, you can get shot and killed.
Dangerous.
For that. It's just not worth it. So just say, okay, Lord, I don't know what's going on in that person's life, but I'm going to deal with kindness to them, and I'm not going to, I'm not going to escalate the situation. And even in marriage and family, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And so when, Chris, if you have an angry teenager, it seems like we have a lot of angry teenagers these days, but it's hard to argue with yourself if the other person doesn't want to engage in that.
Yeah, you'll pull the pendulum over the other way. Yeah.
Yeah. What would you say when it comes to teenagers and the anger that seems to be in a lot of young people today, what is the source of that? Does it come back from a father wound, or what is the deal?
I mean, I think you're onto something as far as culturally, there's a lot of anger taking place. You know, mm-hmm. you were talking about an individual on that anger scale, just 2 points, 2 points, 2 points. It seems like us as a culture, we're on an eight.
Everybody's ready to throw down.
Everybody's angry. I mean, even the driving, you see people get so fired up, you know, while driving over things. And that's just an indication of what's going on. Or standing in line at a store, you just see people right at the tipping point. Right. And so I think that would affect teenagers as well. And teenagers are learning how to handle their emotions. You know, they haven't fully developed yet, you know, especially a male's brain doesn't develop fully until they're 25 years old. So they're learning how to handle their emotions. They haven't right. learned that yet. So as Christian parents, that's something that we could teach our children, is how to handle their emotions. You know, right. I have one of my daughters is, you know, getting to that puberty place. Right. And we could see her emotions starting to change, and starting, she gets angry about things that, you know, aren't really big a deal.
Yeah, that's a good point, because a woman has a cycle, and so every 28 days, and when things change within her, she can get very irritable. And I remember Debbie used to say, hey, I don't want to be like this, but just things just are driving me crazy.
But I mean, again, awareness, mm-hmm. like at least having awareness, I think that's always a good place to start.
Well, it is a good place to start to know, to understand your anger. He who is slow to anger has great understanding. So it's important to understand, okay, where is this coming from and what is going on? And you bring all that to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, is there something I'm holding on to? Is there a hurt from my past that I'm holding on to? You know, Chris, we talk a lot about father wounds, and a lot of people have those. Mm-hmm. And that creates a big issue for them. And the bottom line is, for whomever hurts you, you have to forgive that person. Mm-hmm. You have to release them. I like how June Hunt says, if they did something terrible to you and you say, well, forgiving them would be letting them off the hook, it's not. You're taking them off your hook and you're putting them on God's hook. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And you're free from that. So you don't have those bad, evil feelings toward that person.
Yeah, and you are commanded to forgive. We are commanded to forgive as Christians, but that doesn't mean that we have to reestablish the relationship. So there may be situations where it's not healthy for you to have a relationship with that person. It's not safe for mm-hmm. you to have a relationship with that person, but you still are commanded by God to forgive. And he does that because he's a loving father who knows that it's best for us to forgive, that it's an unhealthy way to live, having unforgiveness.
Yeah, it'll just eat up everything in your life, because it's not going to stay isolated to this one incident or to this one person. It will start spilling over. Something I shared in this booklet was about Gary Smalley. And I just reread this morning. I had forgotten about it, but he was working for a Christian leader at a well-known ministry, and the guy was a manipulator, and he used Smalley. Something went south, and he used Gary Smalley as a scapegoat, and Smalley ended up losing his job, and he was angry at the injustice, but the more he let that churn in his heart, he became angry at the pastor, and then he became bitter. And Gary said that his love for the Lord began to grow cold. His love for ministry began to wane. He realized what the problem was, his unwillingness to forgive this former pastor. And he began to pour out his heart to the Lord. He gave his expectations to the Lord. He had to forgive that man. And when he did, he quit walking in the darkness. He quit stumbling around in the night. He went into the light, and God brought about a change and a freshness to his soul. And that emotional anger meter that had been hovering at around an eight in Smalley's heart for all those months went down to a one. Hey, the same can happen to you as you learn to forgive and turn that over to the Lord. Well, Pastor Jeff Shreve here, talking with my good friend, Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the issue of anger, the problem of anger, unresolved anger. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony, we would love to hear it. So give us a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Let me just mention to you, American Family Association presents AFA at the ARC 2024. So that's October 31st through November 2nd to tour the Creation Museum and the ARC Encounter. The cost is $225 for adults, $100 for children, and that's ages 3 through 17. And then children 2 and under go free. The trip includes transportation to the Creation Museum and the ARC Encounter from the hotel, lunch for both days of the tour, special presentations by Answers in Genesis Vice President, Dr. Georgia Purdom, and then a special presentation by at the ARC by Answers in Genesis Speaker Brian Osborne. And there are going to be more things. It's going to be a lot of fun. I encourage you to check it out. Go to afa.net/events and click on the AFA at the ARC icon. Well, I'm with Dr. Chris Schroeder. We're talking about the issue of anger and how anger, if it's unresolved anger, if it's anger that is based upon hurts that you haven't dealt with, based upon unrealistic expectations that you have going into life, going into marriage, going into family, going into your first job or whatever it might be. God wants you to understand anger. He wants you to be a person who is slow to anger, because a person who is slow to anger has great understanding. But a person who is quick-tempered exalts foolishness and folly, and the Lord doesn't want us to be that way. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony how God broke through, and maybe you had a big anger issue and how you got to the place where you are at peace and you are now able to handle issues without getting angry with that unrighteous anger. So give us a call, and we have our first caller is Obi on the line from West Virginia. Obi, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
My question is, with all that's going on in the world today, a fellow could be righteously angry 24/7.
Yeah.
And my question is, how do you not let that contaminate the Spirit of God that is in us? You know, we can be overwhelmed by all these things that are going on and just ferocious, and so, you know, I think it can get to be a point where it actually poisons you, and I'd like your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, I think that's a great observation, Obi. You know, Chris, I've often thought these guys that do all these news shows, and that's they're just immersed in that stuff for hours and hours and hours a day. Yeah, you could become so jaded toward, you know, everything in life is terrible, every person is rotten. So what would you say to Obi's question?
I think, Obi, that's a great question, and that's something that I've pondered in my own life, how to not become just so bombarded by the negativity that affects you in a negative way. Mm-hmm. I think we really have to just balance what we put into ourselves, you know, just like we watch what we put in, hopefully, sometimes, watch mm-hmm. what we put into ourselves physically, the foods we eat, mm-hmm. same thing, the things that we are digesting, the things that we are consuming. We have to sometimes pull away from the news, mm-hmm. you know what's going on, be aware. I don't think you stick your head in the sand, but you have to pull away sometimes and just balance your life with, you know, I always think about, you know, Philippians is the attitude book mm-hmm. and in the book about joy. And Paul says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And so take some time to think about the good things. Mm-hmm. You know, you could even make a list of the positive things that are going on, the positive things in your life. Hopefully you start with your relationship with God and your family and the breath that you have. But you could just start focusing more on those things.
Right, that's a good point.
But I would say just pull away from that sometimes. Don't just become so consumed with it, because I just don't think that we are designed in a way that we can handle all of that negativity that's going on around us.
No, and then when you do take the long look, and you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, you know he's coming back. You know he's going to right the ship. He's going to get vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. He's going to deal with all that. And, you know, the refrain that we read in Psalms, how long, O Lord, will you not judge and will you not do things? Well, it's God's patience. It's God's mercy. God's giving people a lot of rope. Hopefully they'll come back. It says in Ezekiel 18:32, the Lord takes no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies. Therefore, repent and live. But he will judge. The day of the Lord will come, and there will be judgment, and there will be wrath on evildoers. And so we just rest in that. And Obi, I think we look at those things. You know, abortion is one of those issues that should break every Christian's heart, and we should do all we can to protect the unborn. But at the end of the day, we cast all that care on the Lord and say, Lord, you know. And so, Lord, you know, I can't allow that all that to get inside of me. Because that would wreck and ruin everything.
Well, so we put our hope in the eternal. We put our hope in those things that will last forever and not the temporal. And I know in these months, you know, leading up to November, there's just a lot of tension that we have. And so we have to be really intentional, you know, about where we put our thoughts, where we put our mind.
Right. And I think with the anytime you have an election, you have some people that they get off track because they start putting so much trust in this candidate. Mm-hmm. And if the candidate doesn't win, you know, we see that with these women screaming when Hillary Clinton didn't win. It's just like, that's just sickening. My hope is not in any political candidate. It's in the Lord Jesus. And I pray for righteousness to prevail. But if it doesn't in a particular instance, I know it eventually will because the Lord is going to set up his kingdom. As we talked yesterday, when Jesus reigns on the earth for 1,000 years, there'll be peace, there'll be righteousness, and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will reign from Jerusalem. So our hope is ultimately built on that. I hope that helps, Obi.
Well, like I say, I mean, I agree with you completely. And that's the approach that you're taking or the perspective that you're recommending, I completely comply with. My wife tends to focus so much in the other direction. And I sometimes don't wonder if that doesn't poison her spirit, and yet she can maybe justifiably accuse me of being uncaring about the situation. So there seems to be a delicate balance there sometime, and I guess maybe the statement's been made. Well, you know, you're so earthly minded, you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. It's a real tightrope for me in terms of balancing being righteously angry and yet keeping my proper perspective.
Well, it's a delicate balance, and then you know, husband and wife, you have different temperaments as well. So she may have more of a melancholy personality, you know, where she can see the negative, she can grind through the negative, and you may have more of a phlegmatic kind of personality where you. Just don't see things in that same way, and you could come across as being aloof. That's not what you want to be, but that's what the way you could be perceived. And so just different temperaments, different personalities are going to look at things in a different way. And obviously we can't change anybody. We can't change the way that someone is wired and the way that someone perceives something. Mm-hmm. All we could do is grow in our own relationship with God, our own selves.
Well, and also you think about the Lord. I mean, the Lord can weigh in any of these situations and change it. You know, all these drug lords and these slave owners of these poor sex slaves. I mean, God could kill all those people immediately, but he doesn't do that. And it's like, well, Lord, you have the power to do that, but you're not doing that. And we just have to bow and say, okay, well, I don't understand. Your ways are not my ways, because we would think immediately go in there and do that. Of course, if God did that, then he would wipe out everybody because he hates sin. And so there's, you know, things you deal with, I deal with. You have some people that are given over to that. But if you wipe out all the sinners, there's nobody left.
Right. We all fall short.
So, well, good point, Obi. God bless you, my brother. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. We have Scott on the line from Tennessee. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. I'm having anger issues against my ex-wife of how raising our daughter and continue to be lied to. And I don't know. I keep saying I want to give it to the Lord, but it keeps entering my mind, and I keep dwelling over it, and I don't know how to get rid of it.
Hmm. Great question.
Well, I mean, Scott, this is it's not easy. There's not an easy answer, but this is a part of your growth. This is part of the growth process, the sanctifying work that God's doing in your life, and He's using your ex-wife in this situation with your daughter to bring growth to your life. And, you know, continue to focus on, I would say continue to focus on your thoughts and, you know, be transformed by the renewing of your mind and capture your thoughts and continue to, you know, focus on the Lord and not dwell on the negativity of the situation that you're in. And with your daughter, remember that you are designed to be her hero. And as a dad, there's a lot of grace for dads, especially from daughters. And so keep the big picture in your mind that this isn't a sprint, but this is long term with your daughter and the way that your daughter is going to turn out. And so just keep that big picture in mind and remember that she loves you and has a lot of grace for you as her dad, as her hero.
Well, and I would say this too, Scott. It could be very easy to trash your wife to your daughter, you know, and then you're trashing her mom. You got to really be careful to not do that. Always speak highly of her, even if inside you're like, you know, she's doing this, she's doing that, she's doing the other. But that is, just think how you would feel if somebody trashed your mom. Most of us, we have a love for our mom and we have a love for our dad. And if either one are getting bashed, that causes us to have our hackles come up. Way, hey, that's my mom, that's my dad, quit talking about them that way. And I would just encourage you to, it takes a lot of prayer. When you see things happening that you think this is wrong, the way you're raising my daughter is wrong, but you can't step in and you know, fix it.
Like what you have is prayer. You can't control it.
Can't control it. You can make it worse if you try and, you know, exercise authority there, because she'll go the other direction. So I would just really continue to bring that over to the Lord. Lord, protect my daughter, build a hedge of protection around her from evil influences and from things that aren't right. And just really cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. And just know that this isn't easy. And Chris, you dealt with this, mm-hmm. you know, firsthand. So you're not just talking about something you read in a book.
Yeah.
And you know how hard it is.
Yeah. And you're fighting against that anger all the time against the ex-spouse. And, you know, honestly, I'm not saying in a judgmental way because I have been there. Divorce it's broken. You know, it's a relationship that's broken. That's why God says He hates divorce, because it's a broken relationship. And so there's some consequences of it. And this is part of it in trying to deal with these people that used to be married and now they're not, you mm-hmm. know, and trying to deal with each other.
Right. Well, God bless you, my brother. May the Lord give you victory over that. And we have one last caller, Emily from Louisiana. Emily, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment to Obi about not letting the evil and the sin of the world infiltrate us. And I just wanted to tell him that you need to be aware of what your thoughts are focused on. If you look for the bad, you will find it. And if you look for the good, you will find it. Don't be ignorant of the evils that are going on in the world right now, but don't focus too much on them. There's a great deal of goodness that you can focus on instead, and then the evils will not infiltrate your soul so much.
Yes, very good. So, yeah, Chris had shared Philippians 4:8, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is a good repute, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. You're exactly right, Emily. We have to be aware of what those negative things are. You don't want to be unaware. You want to be like the sons of Issachar, understood the times. They knew what was going on and what Israel should do. But you can't just immerse yourself in that, because that will start to poison your mind. And the Lord is in control. Uh-huh. And he does see everything. And He sees it more clearly than you and I do. And He will right the ship at the right time. So God bless you, my sister. Thanks for calling in, and thank you for that encouragement. Well, Chris, last thoughts about dealing with anger.
I would say the biggest thing is to acknowledge it, acknowledge that there's anger, whether that be something that you've stuffed or something that's coming out, you're spewing it out. Go back to what's really happening. What's the real emotion that's happening, the cause of it, and then determine that you're going to deal with it. You're going to take it to the Lord, and you're going to grow in this area of your life.
Amen. Well, if you'd like to share this podcast today with a friend, a neighbor, a loved one, somebody that you know that is struggling, you can go to afr.net and afr.net and share this Real Truth for Today. So this can be a real blessing to someone. Well, thanks for listening. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with Dr. Chris Schroeder. And so go out this weekend, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. Worship the Lord this Sunday and thank Him for all the freedoms and all the blessings that He's given us here in America and for those who gave their lives to provide that for us. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.